Come on, Dr. Dre, let's get it crunk. Radio.
Are they ready, Rob?
True Sports Talks, America.
Here we go. Oh, yeah. Well, man.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't.
Here we go.
My time is now. It's the franchise.
True Sports Talks, America.
You can't see me. My time is now.
In case you forgot or felt.
I love it, of course. Welcome to Talking Sports with 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. And, of course, you are tuned in, America, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Today, of course, is Tuesday, May the 21st. And, as always, we got an explosive show for you tonight. A lot of talk, a lot of NBA talk, Rob. A lot of things to recap as far as some strategies. You know, I've got to throw out some prayers for everything that's going on in the world, not only in the sports world, but also currently. And without further ado, you know how we got to do. We got to end it with some shout-outs, all that good stuff. We're not even talking about Tebow this time, Rob, but, you know, that's just what it's all about. So I always got to check with my co-host. How are you doing, sir?
Finally, we have a show where we, you know, won't discuss Tim Tebow too much on tonight. It seems like he finds a way to always make it on our show, and yet we're still talking about him. But, yeah, we won't go too much further into the Tim Tebow sightings.
You know, I'm always joking because I always got to, you know, talk about that. But, of course, thank you for calling in and listening in. It's what it's all about. For those that want to actually give us your thoughts, a lot of ways to get in touch with us. We are on Facebook. We're on Twitter. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are the hashtag. Obviously, we're at 12th Man Sports. If you want to follow us on Facebook, it's obviously facebook.com/12thmansports. And if you want to call into the show tonight, the number to call into, it's for the guests, 424-243-9519. So that is all of our pertinent information. And without further ado, Rob, we got to jump right into it. And for some reason, we always seem to have some, we're always cognizant about what's going on in the world. And we always just want to talk about some tragedies in Oklahoma. Definitely want to send out our thoughts and prayers to all the families out there. And it's pretty neat that Kevin Durant actually donated $1 million to all those tornado victims. So I think it's a great cause for him, and it's the way to kind of, just, you know, kind of bring levity to the situation.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a tough situation for a lot of people in the suburbs of Oklahoma City and the Moore, Oklahoma area specifically. And definitely our prayers and condolences are with the people of Moore, Oklahoma, and hope that that town will have a speedy recovery. And you know, our prayers go out to families, and a lot of families lost children in this tragedy, and such a horrible event. And once again, the Talking Sports with the 12th Man family want to send up our prayers and condolences to the people in Oklahoma. And definitely kudos to Kevin Durant. Of course, you know, he plays with Oklahoma City Thunder, so that probably hit home with him. The tragedy is there, stepping up and donating $1 million. Through the Red Cross for that community. And so definitely kudos. You know, we always want to talk about athletes when they're doing something bad, but we need to give them kudos when they do something great as well. And so give credit where credit is due to Kevin Durant.
Very well spoken. And obviously, as the other half of 12th Man Sports up to concur with you, feel free to, you know, definitely text and send out those donations, give blood. Whatever it is you can do, definitely show some love to the families out in Oklahoma. So that being said, let's kind of switch gears and let's jump right into some Talking Sports. And the NBA playoffs are live and right in your living room, Rob, as we speak. And let's kind of talk about what's going on right now in the NBA. Yeah, so we're going to jump right into it. Obviously, we had a big draft lottery. We'll talk about that. But the biggest thing we'll talk about is Vinny Del Negro. He's actually out as the Clippers coach. And this is pretty interesting. You kind of wonder if Chris Paul has something to do with this, or I don't know. You kind of figure out what's going to happen with that. Do you think the Clippers pretty much underachieved, Rob? I mean, this is a situation where Vinny Del Negro had a lot of talent, and I know he had some injuries throughout the season, but, you know, do you think he kind of underachieved? I know, like, there's some situations with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan were kind of feuding, and And, you know, it looks like all is not well in paradise. You got two LA teams that are going to be had a kind of interesting season. So just what do you think this means as far as with the LA Clippers and the next steps for them?
Well, I mean, here's the deal here. There's a lot of good teams in the Western Conference right now. And I will say this. I never did think the Clippers were a championship team. So, but I also did not think that Benny Del Negro was a great coach either. And I think even with the perfect coach, this Clipper team is a second-round team at best. And, well, they didn't make it to the second round. But I think, you know, they had high expectations. The San Antonio Spurs, of course. You still have the OKC Thunder, even though they lost Russell Westbrook. The Memphis Grizzlies, of course. And there's quite a few good teams in the Western Conference, and all with high expectations. And so one sense I think is a little bit unfair, but also I can kind of see where the Clippers are going. But unless they're able to bring in a Phil Jackson kind of coach, I'm not sure if there are too many guys out there that will really get that team to the next level. And as the team is constructed right now, I don't see them as a championship kind of caliber team. Now, you know, I'm hearing that they're trying to recruit coaches that Chris Paul has ties to keep them in Los Angeles. I mean, Byron Scott's been fired 3 times already. Does he deserve a fourth chance? I think one guy that's intriguing is Michael Malone, who's an assistant coach with Golden State, who also was an assistant coach with Mike Brown in Cleveland for many years, Coach LeBron James. He was also an assistant with the Hornets under Monty Williams for 1 year when Chris Paul was there too. So that's a guy I think is very intriguing, very defensive-minded coach, very underrated assistant coach in the NBA, and I think his time is due for a head coaching opportunity. Michael Malone, a lot of our fans may not know who he is. Like I said, this guy has been a great assistant coach in the NBA a long time and a great defensive mind in the NBA. I think he'll be an intriguing target for the Los Angeles Clippers.
So, Rob, you know, Del Negro had the highest winning percentage in the coach for the LA Clippers. He's the only Clippers coach to have consecutive winning seasons since they moved to California, since they were called the Buffalo Braves back in the day, and they became the Clippers in 1978. They just had this 6-winning season, so they have this consecutive winning record in playoff appearances for the first time, and then they fire or they don't bring back their coach. That's almost not fair to Benny Del Negro, right?
Well, I mean, think about it here. Okay, 2 straight winning seasons. We're talking about the Clippers organization. So, I mean, it's not saying a whole lot. I mean, there haven't been a lot of great seasons in this organization. And so him having 2 consecutive winning seasons is not saying a whole lot. I mean, this team went out and got Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, Chauncey Billups. I mean, like I said, they're not a championship team as the way they construct it right now. But once again, I still don't think he was able to bring those guys together and build a unit. And but that being said, the best of coaches, in my opinion, that team is still not the championship team.
Very well spoken. Well, like you said, I was just playing the advocate, so I just had to put it there, as always. But
I like it.
It's something a little different here. So obviously, like you said, we're talking about Mike Malone as a possible replacement. Brian Shaw may get a look. I know he's seeming to be a very hot name as well.
Brian Shaw would be a great look there too.
Yeah, and then you obviously have Byron Scott, but I don't think that's going to happen after being fired a couple times. You know, I don't know if that's a good situation, but we'll see how that plays out.
But Chris Paul and Byron Scott are extremely close, and so it would not surprise me if Byron Scott gets a look there. He's got a lot of ties to Los Angeles. Chris Paul, once again, and Byron Scott are extremely close. Mm-hmm. And I think at the moment, the Clippers will do anything they need to do to keep Chris Paul. And bringing Byron Scott there is going to be the answer. They'll do it.
Gotcha. I'm not going to make any jokes about anything else without the Chappelle Show, but I'm going to keep it clean here. Anyway, let's have some fun here. Keeping it moving here. We're going to talk about, you know, just a quick recap of the NBA playoffs. Obviously what's been going on with the playoffs, the Pacers knock out the Knicks, and we'll talk about the Knicks a little bit later on. You know, obviously the Memphis Grizzlies do their thing. You know, a lot of good games here going on. And I guess kind of, you know, get a recap as far as did you expect this? You know, Spurs are playing well. Spurs knock out the Golden State Warriors. You know, Heat do their thing. I know there's been some surprises. I know one of the surprises that we picked, and maybe I picked this more than you, I thought Oklahoma City Thunder were going to be in the finals. That obviously didn't happen with what's been going on with the injury of Russell Westbrook. But this is kind of how you expected everything to play out, Rob. I mean, I'm sure it's been, you know, Memphis and San Antonio. San Antonio seeming to have a breath of fresh air. They're bringing back a lot of experience here. So this is going to be a very, very interesting set. It looks like it's coming into a Spurs-Heat final for sure.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, I would have to agree with you there. I think we're looking at a Spurs-Heat final, which I think could be a very good finals as well. And I don't think that would be a cakewalk for the Heat either. I think Greg Popovich, if not the best coach currently in the NBA, he's definitely one of the best. And I think he would definitely put together a strategy that's going to be very competitive. And I think I would go out and say the Heat would, you know, would move on to beat Indiana. I think the Heat will win by 4-1, 4-2. I think you'll see a few competitive games in this series, too. I think you'll see a lot of trash talk. Another tough series, I think, for the Heat. The Bulls are physical with the Heat, and I think you're going to see the Pacers be physical with the Heat as well. But I also see the same kind of series with the Spurs and Memphis. I'm seeing this going in a 4-2, 4-1 kind of direction with the Spurs winning, so we'll set up a Spurs-Heat final. And I actually can see that series going 7 games. I think Miami will pull it out, but I can see a Heat-Spurs series going 7 games just because I think Greg Popovich will have some answers for him, and I think that will be a real competitive series. And but I'm going to still say the Heat pulls this thing out, you know, with a win over Indiana, then with a 7-game series victory over the Spurs.
Love it, love it, love it. Like I said, are we crazy? Are we nuts? We are sort of halfway into the show. I want to throw out some numbers once again. If anyone wants to call in, show us some love. The number to call in, it's 424-243-9519. We are also on Twitter. Follow us at 12th Man Sports. And we're also on Facebook as well. You keep it going. A lot of updates. We keep track. We post a lot of things. If you ever wanted to follow us via Facebook, just go to facebook.com/12thmansports, and we're there as well, talking sports for the 12th man. Rob Ford, let's keep it moving, sir. I got to give a shout-out as well. I don't know if my boy Tony is listening. We go back a long way. TV, Mr. Tony, hope all is well, sir. And just giving you a quick shout-out, man. Definitely call us in. Check us out. Tell us what you think about the show as well. Anyway, moving right along, let's talk about we're still kind of going on in the with the playoffs, and let's talk about the Pacers-Heat series, Robin. And, you know, it seemed like before you talked about the physicality of the Chicago Bulls, it seems like the Pacers are kind of following that same type of trend. They, we talked about it being a mental game, Rob, and I think right now it seems like the Bulls try to, you know, out-physical the Heat. It seems like the Pacers are trying to get into the Heat's head. They're trying to, like, you know, play these mind games with them. What do you think? Is that kind of the case? You think that the Pacers are trying to like kind of do a little bit of both, if you will?
Oh, yeah. You know, and yeah, obviously this is professional basketball. Neither team should be backing down from one another. And I think the Pacers are going to try to be real physical with this team. Miami has a reputation of possibly being a finesse team. And so I think the Bulls, you know, were trying to be a little physical with the Heat. Sometimes it paid off, other times it didn't. And I think the Pacers are going to try to do the same thing. I think David West has a boxing kind of mentality, physical presence. And you add in a Roy Hibbert, you add Psycho T into the mix off the bench. And then, of course, Lance Stevenson is another very physical player. He's really coming to his own this season. And so I think, you know, they're going to add some physicality to the series. But I think in the end, Miami would just be a little bit, they'll be too good for the Pacers, in another word. And so I'm still looking at a 4-1, 4-2 kind of series with the Heat win. And I'll say this, I think maybe LeBron James maybe overreacted to Frank Vogel's comments. And I don't think Frank Vogel's comments was just the call of the Heat just any other team. But I think in a nutshell, what he was trying to say is, you know, the Heat is our next challenge. And but I think he might have been taken out of context a little bit.
Wow. Interesting. I mean, like I said, I think he definitely tried to get on the radio and kind of clear that up, Rob, as far as, you know, he didn't mean this, I didn't mean this, I meant that. But like you said, you know, this is professional basketball. No one's backing down. But I do think there's like a little mental, you know, game that's going on between both teams, you know. So they realize that, you know, Pacers, like, we're not going to out, you know, physical them or anything like that. We're going to try to, like, you know, kind of go at them mentally, you know. So we'll see how that plays out. I think the context, as you mentioned, we're definitely taking out of context. But when it comes down to it, you have to play the game. Bottom line, you have to go out there and execute and do what you have to do. And then, you know, you find out where the talk is cheap or talk is actually real. That's my little two cents on that particular issue.
Yeah. And I don't think the talks are going to have much bearing on the series. I really don't.
Yeah, good deal. All right, moving right along. We are making good progress. We're talking a lot of topics, and we're going to keep it going. And let's talk about the NBA lottery results. So if you guys don't know, it looks like, and this is Andre, man. Andre's a big conspiracy theorist, man. Once again, man, I think the lottery is rigged, man. Come on, man. Cleveland gets the number one pick. They mess around, lose LeBron. I think David Stern wants to keep that that Heat Cavaliers series. He wants to do everything in his power to make sure Cleveland is good. You know, whatever. Orlando looks like they get the second pick in the draft, robbing the Wizards number three, which clearly the Chicago, I'm thinking of Michael Jordan, the Charlotte Bobcats are the worst team in the league, and they ended up, you know, getting knocked down. So, you know, I don't know. And obviously I'm just joking, people. They get the number four pick. But like you said, top five, you got Phoenix, then you got your New Orleans Hornets getting the sixth pick, Sacramento, Detroit, Minnesota, and
like
Portland
it.
Round out the top ten. So, yeah. What did you say, sir?
Pelicans. New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, I apologize, sir. I'm sorry. It is the Pelicans. Please forgive me. That was a little Freudian slip. So, yeah. So what do you think about this? I know there's some rumors that Cleveland may be interested in trading that number one pick, but we'll see how that plays out. And, you know, obviously this is a very interesting draft. Right now, it looks like if you're going on one of our sources, NBADraft.net, they got Ben McLemore going number one. You know, what do you think about this, Rob? Do you think this is a pretty interesting draft scenario that's going on?
Well, here's the deal. Last year, we had a clear-cut number one pick in this draft in Anthony Davis. 2 years ago, we had a clear-cut number one pick in Kyrie Irving. And those two guys would be franchise-changing type players. And this year, I don't think we have that. I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between 1 and 10 in this draft, between the top 10 players in this draft. And there's definitely not that much of a difference from the top 5 and through 6 through 10. And I do think that there's two players that could be worthy of the number one pick in this draft. And we're talking Nerland Noel and Ben McLemore. But like I said, I don't think there's a whole lot of difference once you drop down from there. So I can see why Cleveland could be possibly looking at trading this, because I'm not sure if it's a franchise game changer in this particular draft. But I think there's some players that will help your ball club out tremendously. And if I'm the Cleveland Cavaliers, if they can't make that trade, you just drafted Deion Waiters last year with your first-round pick. So in my opinion, you probably would look to go to Nerland Noel route, a guy who can come in and contribute on defensive end right away with his block-shocking ability, shot-blocking ability, I should say, and his rebounding. Maybe not totally there offensively, but I think there's so many things he can do to kind of help that team out right away. So I really think it's just a matter of what a team needs, whether it be Nerlens or Ben McLemore, who goes number one. And I think the way the Cavaliers are constructed, if they stay in the number one pick, I think you would have to say Noel will be the guy over McLemore just because you drafted Deion Waiters last year. So that would be just my take, unless you want to play a little small ball. And that would just be kind of my take. But here's my top five players. I'm going to go top six. I'm going to give our listeners little bit of a bonus, who I think is the top six players in
Thank
this
you.
Year's draft. And I just talked about Noel and Ben McLemore. I'm going to go 1A and 1B here, but I'm going to give a slight, very slight of edge, even though he's coming off an ACL injury, to Nerlens Noel, just because he can have an impact with defensive and rebounding right away. He's very athletic and really run the floor. And once he improves his offensive game, he can really be a great contributor to an organization down the line. And I'm going to say Ben McLemore, once again, 1B. This guy has the ability of a Ray Allen when Ray Allen was in his prime. Great shooter, solid defender, great scorer, good athletic ability, and kind of reminds me of a Ray Allen when Ray was in his prime. And so I'm going to say he is the number two player in this draft. And number three, I'm going to go Otto Porter, a guy that's really just came out of nowhere, 6'9", small forward, long arms, very good defender out of Georgetown. And this year he's really improved his offensive game. Slasher, he's really knocking down a 19-20-foot jump shot now. He's really improved his game, can really play on both ends of the floor. Could be a real steal for an organization here. Well, it's hard to call a number three pick a steal, but I think this is a guy that's still on the rise. It could be could be a real sleeper in this draft. And number four, this is one that I've kind of been wrestling with here, but I'm going to go with Victor Oladipo, a guard, shooting guard from Indiana. This guy's got great athleticism. Once again, we're talking about a very good defender. And I'll say this, I think he could be a poor man's Dwayne Wade. I don't think he'll be as good as offensive player as Dwayne Wade was in his prime. But he's got great athletic ability. He might even be a better defender than Dwayne Wade, but maybe not as good as offensive player as Dwayne Wade, but an incredible athlete, and I think he can definitely help some ball clubs in the NBA. Number five, I'm going to be Trey Burke, who I think is the best point guard in the draft, and so he can definitely have an impact. Guy can score, he can facilitate, and he's only 6 feet tall, but he's a very strong guard. He can rebound a basketball for a guard. I think he's got a lot of heart. And definitely I think he can improve some toughness, even from the point guard position in the Trey Burke. And number six, a guy who I really like and, you know, who also has a chance of moving into the top five. I know he's coming off of a shoulder injury, Anthony Bennett. I don't know if a lot of people in America knows him. UCLA, he can probably play a little bit of small forward and power forward. This guy is probably a more athletic and better fit and better shape guy than Charles Barkley, Anthony Bennett. He's about 6'7", 6'8", but he's the type of guy that can rebound a basketball and take the ball coast to coast. And I don't know if, you know, our old-time basketball listeners here, Charles Barkley was the same kind of player. We can rebound a basketball and just take it coast to coast. Anthony Bennett is that kind of player, very good athlete. He can post you up. He can shoot it. And, you know, this is a guy that could be another player that can be a really good steal. And one of the guys that I'm even hoping that my New Orleans Pelicans will be giving a strong look. I think he's another guy that can add some toughness to your team.
Very, very nice. Look at that. That was kind of Rob's 5 minutes there. He just kind of went out and talked about top six players. Got to give you some credits. So that was good stuff, man. You know, I thought you were going to throw in Cody Zeller in there, but that's okay. It's all good.
Well, yeah, Cody Zeller's in my top 10, but not quite in my top 6 at the moment.
I think this is a very, very
Cody Zeller, I think, is a very good athleticism, can run the floor. But my problem with Cody Zeller is his toughness. He doesn't seem to come up big in clutch situations. And so I have him in the top 10, but not in the top 6.
I think you got a lot of underrated players out here, Rob. I think, you know, whether you got the Shane Larkins, you got the you know, you've got Tim Hardaway Jr., Glenn Rice Jr.,
Absolutely.
Peyton Silva. I think this is a very interesting draft, kind of similar to the NFL. I mean, I don't think you have that one star player, but I think you have a very deep draft, a lot of solid players too. So we'll see how that goes. We haven't really mentioned any international players either. You know, it's always
well, Glenn Robinson Jr. He actually stayed in school, and just to clear that up, Big Dog Jr. actually stayed in school.
Glenn Rice Jr. Oh, he stayed in school? Okay, gotcha. I'm thinking that we sure I'm thinking about I know there's a Glenn Rice Jr. that's
Glenn Rice Jr., yes, he's in the draft. I thought you were talking about Glenn Robinson Jr.
Nah, so Glenn Rice Jr. is what I was talking about. He's definitely in the draft. But Glenn Robinson Jr., he went back to school. But that's okay. We're all good. But like I said, so that's why I said there's like a lot of interesting players. And the only reason why I knew that Robinson because I'm a Georgia Tech fan, so I know he
absolutely
did the thing too. But that's all good. Well, like I said, very interesting draft. We're going to keep it going, and that's what it's all about. We're actually we are moving right along. I know we kind of stayed a little while longer on that particular topic. I want to talk about Dwight Howard. He's unhappy in Los Angeles, and we still got to talk about Jim Boeheim, how he's ripping the Knicks. So surprise, surprise, Dwight Howard is unhappy in L.A., and the rumors, Rob, is that he was not happy with Mike D'Antoni. Now, granted, I can give him that because I don't think, you know, Mike D'Antoni is that great of a coach. But at this juncture, you know, before I used to want him back in Atlanta, I don't even want him back, Rob. I'm at a point. I'm like, dude, you know, if you don't want to be here, you know, deuces, you know, pretty much, because I think it's a situation where, you know, I don't think he wants to be the man, Rob. And basically what I'm saying, if you wanted to kind of change this, you would come to Atlanta and be like, you know what, that's my hometown. I want to be the man. I have the option to try to take this team to the next level. But no, you know, you don't want to accept that challenge to me. And I think that's kind of like a punk move. So I'm like, you know what, if you don't want to be here, go to Houston, go wherever, you know, whatever. He's not even, I don't even want to be associated with him, be one of, you know, a good player that I want to be associated with. I'm like, dude, I'm done with him. So anyway, that's my little tyrant. Curious to hear your thoughts. we'll kind of wrap it up, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Dwight Howard, I think, you know, he got Stan Van Gundy fired. Now he's still crying. He's probably going to cry wherever he goes. He's not being a focal point in the offense. And I'm starting to agree with you right now. He's probably just becoming a big baby in the league. And, you know, he's such a gifted athlete. You know there's going to be some teams that are going to be vying for his services. I know Houston and Dallas is going to go after him really hard this offseason. And don't be surprised. I'm actually starting to think he's leaning toward going to Houston. I think he's got an opportunity. Dwight Howard's 27 years old. James Harden is 24. They got an opportunity to kind of grow together as young players. And that could really put these Rockets. And they really tried hard last offseason to make moves to get him. And so I think this could really put the Rockets in an intriguing situation. And, of course, I don't really think he enjoyed playing with Kobe Bryant either, let alone Mike D'Antoni. So I think you got an intriguing opportunity to play with another young superstar in Houston. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that right now here. I don't know what's today's date. I don't know, May 21st, I believe. But I'm going to go out and say Dwight Howard will be a member of the Houston Rockets. And I'm not too happy about that because he's going to be in our division. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's going to be a member of the Houston Rockets, and he's going to depart La La Land and with his unhappiness with Mike D'Antoni and Kobe Bryant.
We are about a minute 30 into the show, Rob. Let's wrap it up, and we're going to talk about the Jim Boeheim and the Knicks. Go ahead and set us up for the OT portion of the show and next week.
Yeah, we still got a little bit of NFL in our OT portion, a little bit more NBA to discuss as well. So once again, if you guys, of course, can't listen to the OT portion live, but please tune in on tomorrow, listen in on your lunch break, eating at your desk, need something to do. We're talking sports. You can even tweet us while you're listening to the OT portion. Let us know what you think, what we're talking about. You agree with us, disagree with us. Tweet us at 12manSports, or you can like us on Facebook at Talking Sports with the 12th Man. So once again, you know, listen to the OT portion and join us next Tuesday night. We're going to be on the air at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian, 5 a.m. Wednesday morning in Germany. Any closing remarks, Dr. Dre?
So I say, as always, thank you everyone for listening to the show. We are here every Tuesday, as Rob said. We're going to give a shout-out to all of keeps listening to us, all that good stuff. Check us out. Give us your feedback. We appreciate that for sure.
Good night, people.
Rob is very diplomatic. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. As we get ready to wrap up the OT portion, get ready to head to the OT portion of our show, that's what it's all about, Robin. And I just want to kind of second your opinion as far as where Dwight is going. I know he's not going to be back with the Lakers. And this is what I say. I don't know if Dwight fits in the Rockets in their style of play, Rob. I mean, you know, that's kind of the team that, you know, you got Jeremy Lin, the Harden. Do you think he's actually going to slow down what they have? Or do you think he's actually going to be a good fit for what they're doing right now?
Well, I think, you know, Dwight Howard still has to get his back in shape. But if you know, Dwight Howard is a big man that can really run the floor. And I think he can probably fit into that fast-paced game with the Rockets. I mean, they were a fast-paced team. And if you notice, this Rocket team has some really good three-point shooters. So if they can keep that intact, James Harden with his penetration skills, kick out to the threes, and then Dwight Howard causing double teams on the low post, which would also help them with getting some open threes as well. So I think it might be a perfect combination with those two guys. You put some open shooters on the team. You look at this Miami Heat team, the way they're constructed right now. I don't think they have a dominant big man, but Chris Bosh is capable of scoring over 20 points and 10 rebounds a night. He can cause a double team on a low block. LeBron James penetration can cause double teams. Dwayne Wade can cause double teams. So what do? You add some really good shooters to your team. At any time, you can put a Shane Battier, and you can shoot threes. Norris Cole, Mario Chalmers, Mike Miller, Ray Allen. So, Ray, you got to give Pat Riley a lot of credit. And you can even go back to the old Houston Rockets with Hakeem Olajuwon. What you do, Hakeem Olajuwon, every time he touches the ball, what happens? Double team. You put three-pointers on the team with him, three-point shooters on the team with him, Kenny Smith, Vernon Maxwell. You get guys that can knock down that three. And that's what you do when you have guys that can cause double teams on your ball club. You should just surround them with some great shooters.
Nobody cares, Rob. Nobody cares what you're talking about. I'm just joking, man. Good now. Like I said, we'll see that fit. Like I said, I don't know if that's as the perfect fit as we think. And like I said, I've always been, you know, one of those people where, you know, everything looks good on paper, but you obviously got to make sure it's a chemistry thing too. You know, I think the Houston Rockets, I don't know if that's kind of a done deal, sir. I think they kind of like what's going on. You know, they're going to watch what's going on with the situation to make sure, you know, it is a chemistry thing with Dwight Howard, if he can kind of get in line. Because like I said, right now, you know, Houston, you know, they played pretty well. So, you know, I'm not sure exactly. I mean, it would help to have a low post player, but we'll see how that situation definitely comes into the picture. Jim Boeheim rips the Knicks, except for Carmelo Anthony. Huh, that's pretty surprising. Carmelo went to Syracuse. Yeah. What do you think about this, Rob? Is this a situation where, you know, he's basically saying, hey, Carmelo needs more help. He's going to support his player, obviously. So what's your take on this situation?
Well, basically, in a sense, I agree with what Jim Boeheim is saying. I think Carmelo Anthony was really giving it his all, had a great series. Just wasn't getting help from anyone else. J.R. Smith was shooting bricks the entire series, and the rest of the team didn't show up either. Tyson Chandler couldn't do anything with Roy Hibbert. And, basically what he said was right on the money, but the Syracuse guy defending another Syracuse guy, that's kind of skeptical, and that's how most people are looking at this. But, you know, Jim Boeheim is not the only person that said this. I mean, Stephen A. Smith said the same thing, and I can probably think of two or three other guys that did as well. But since he's a Syracuse guy, saying it about a Syracuse guy, he's taking more heat about it. But, you know, you can turn on ESPN, and you can hear the loudmouth himself, Stephen A. Smith, who I'm a fan of, by the way. I'm just joking. And Stephen A. Smith, you know, blasted the rest of the Knicks as well. So basically what Boeheim saying was true is just that coming from another Syracuse guy just didn't look good.
You know, this is my thing, Rob. I'm kind of on the fence, man. You know, you got to have superstars, but ultimately basketball is a team game. You know, I had this – we were talking about this earlier. As far as Mr. Michael Jordan, we always try to bring him up on the show just because, you know, obviously in my lifetime, you know, he's one of the greatest players I've seen play. You know, everyone knows I'm not a big fan of Kobe, but – as much as you can talk about Michael and his selfishness and whatever, you know, I think ultimately he was a great teammate. Now, granted, I mean, there are certain times that you can call him a ball hawk, whatever, but he made the team around him better. You know, he's able to do things, and people generally liked hanging around with him. I mean, you know, obviously, if that wasn't the case, I'm sure that you might have heard him being a bad guy, but, you know, typically said, hey, he was rough to work with, but he knew how to balance that out even later on in his career whenever you get like a Dennis Rodman and you add different pieces. Kobe, you don't hear that about Kobe. You just hear him, you know, he's kind of standoffish. You know, he's a great player, but I don't know if he necessarily elevated his team the same way like Jordan did. So I say all that to say, you know, it's interesting, you know, same thing you're talking about, you know, with Carmelo. There are certain situations where you have to, it is a team game. Yes, you can take the team on your shoulders, but you want to make everyone around you better. And sometimes making everyone around you better doesn't mean, you know, shooting, you know, 30 shots a game or 40 shots a game. You know, yeah, you know, you want somebody to shoot yourself out of a slump, but you have to figure out a way to dig in and kind of say, hey, guys, you know, I know you're having a tough shooting game, JR. I need you to do this. I need you to, you know, play the defense. You know, you just need to guard the, you know, heck out of whoever you guard. You know, hey, you know, Tyson, you know, lock down on Hubbard. Do whatever you have to do. You know, I don't care if you play your heart out, that's cool. And that's what I'm talking about. It's a team game, you know. And, you know, and I don't know, I'm not saying that Carmelo's not a leader, but it just kind of makes you question as far as if he has the umption to kind of be the man. And I know there's a lot of scrutiny in New York, and he's in a big market, but, you know, that's kind of what you sign up for, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, it's going to be really interesting, but this Knicks team, the way it's constructed right now, it's going to be really hard with their cap situation, and they still stuck with the Amar Stoudemire contract and his injury rules. So it's going to be really hard for them to get past the second round with the team that they currently have.
That's what it's all about, man. We'll keep it going for sure, man. I mean, like I said, I agree with you. It seems like the Knicks, they're never it seems like, you know, certain teams' history always repeats itself, Rob. And, I mean, are they still paying for Allen Houston's contract? I don't know. But it seems like they're always getting themselves in this cap situation, too. I mean, they try to get better. They try to have Amari Stoudemire, and that just didn't seem to work out. You know, you gave away an exciting player in Jeremy Lin. I know he may have been overrated, but, you know, you don't have to go out and do all that. You know, you could have kept certain pieces there, could have kept it going, but, you know, like I said, we're not making the calls. I'm not the GM, but it's definitely going to be very tough next year, and we'll see how that plays out for sure. Do you think Mike Woodson's job is in any jeopardy as well for this tough loss?
I think that would be a mistake by the Knicks, because I really think they're really improved from last year to this year. And even at the end of last year, he was a major reason for the improvement. So I would say that would be a mistake, in my opinion. I actually think he did a phenomenal job this year. That's just my personal thoughts.
Interesting. We're going to keep it going. And I guess we'll wrap it up, Rob. I guess our last topic that we had, and I know you said something about talking about some NFL, so I'll just kind of get our last topic in here, which is pretty relevant. We're showing a lot of love to the Bay Area and San Francisco, and that they win the 50th Super Bowl. I'll let you elaborate on this. Very, very exciting times. Not that it's a big surprise, but, you know, congratulations to San Francisco. They're getting the 50th Super Bowl, sir.
Yes. They'll be hosting Super Bowl 50 in a few years here.
Yep.
And so congratulations to the Bay Area. I know that's a hot area for our show. And so definitely congratulations. It's going to be a real high-tech Super Bowl. I hear the stadium is going to have more high-tech gadgets than any stadium in the NFL currently, and I guess that makes sense, the Silicon Valley area. And so it's going to be a very high-tech Super Bowl. It's going to be introducing a lot of new things to NFL stadiums, and they're going to play a huge role in that. And what's interesting about this particular bid is this whole Bay Area is going to be involved, all the way from Monterey all the way up to wine country there in Napa Valley. And so it should be something really cool. And it's just going to be interesting to see what kind of weather they have. It can be real windy or foggy there. But, you know, once again, it's a beautiful area of our country. And congratulations to the Bay Area.
That's what it's all about. Yeah, beautiful country. That's what I was talking about, Rob. I said they're going to be hosting Super Bowl 50, you know, which is hopefully that came out correctly. But anyway, all is well. We are, you know, very excited because we do have, I know I got a lot of family in the Bay Area. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. Like you said, high tech, very innovative stadium. I think it's kind of the wave of the future. So we'll keep that going for sure. And I guess as we're wrapping up the show, is there anything else you want to talk about as far as football? Anything else you want to kind of wrap up as we have another successful night talking sports with the 12th man?
Yep, I think that's going to do it for this edition of Talking Sports with the 12th man. Once again, we hope you guys will join us on next Tuesday. It's going to be 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 Hawaiian, and 5 a.m. in Germany. Had fun. I hope you guys had fun listening to our show. Give us some feedback. Let us know if you like the show. Let us know if you like what we're talking about or dislike what we're talking about. Once again, we hope that you all will follow us on Twitter at Talking Sports with the 12th Man and like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Any closing remarks, Andre?
Nice. I just want to say, as always, thank you as well to my co-host, Rob, for another great night of Talking Sports. And, you know, as mentioned, we enjoy what we talk about. We're kind of in an interesting time right now. I can talk football, I think, you know, 24/7. So, you know, we get a break in there. Looking forward to training camps. Love the NBA. Love what's going on. We'll definitely look forward to next week maybe doing some more draft talk as far as some players that you want to target for the NBA as we get ready to wrap that up and just kind of recapping the playoffs. Anything else that's going down within that. So that's what it's all about. And as always, Tuesday, May 21st, we are officially done.
Good night, people.
Good night. Thanks for tuning in. Like us on Facebook. Talk to you guys later.